Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with TG Watkins, Director of Stocks over at Simpler Trading. And TG, it's always great to get you on the show and get your technical perspectives on the market and which sectors you think are trending, which ones have a good short position, have a good long position. But as we were talking before we started recording, it's really, in some ways, a trendless market. There's some things that are up that don't seem like they still should be. There's other things that have had a rough patch. What do you make of the overall lay of the land in the markets?
Very, very difficult. This last, actually today's move, let's see, today is Tuesday, December 14th, the move down in the S&P, I was calling for. I was saying that price needs to at least go to the hourly 50, and I wouldn't be surprised if it goes lower, so we're getting that today. And I've been guiding that since, at least for a solid week, basically since price moved over the hourly 50. And we're seeing some weakness in Apple, Google, Microsoft. I mean, a lot of big names are down today, which is another thing that I've been calling for, because it's a pattern that I describe as the inverse trampoline move, and it's based on the MOXIE indicator that I've developed and that I work with and teach everybody about. And so the fact that we had price up but the indicator was still negative was telling me that that's not where price should be, and that we're likely to expect some sort of drop coming. And that's what we're seeing today. Now, there are a lot of cross currents out there. We do have the FOMC tomorrow. The meeting has started today, so we'll hear what they say tomorrow. Usually there's some fireworks leading up to that. You know, like the day of, the market tends to not move because everyone's just waiting to hear what the news is with them. But we know that inflation is no longer transitory. We know that the Fed is starting to reduce their bond purchasing, so they're tapering. And we've got inflation. We actually had really high CPI, which the market didn't really respond too much to. But then we had PPI, the producer price index, today, and it was really high. I think it was, you know, up in the eights, so up by 0.8, I believe. Either way, it was high. And that seems to also be what's greasing the wheels for the market to the downside today. Yeah, it is a tough market out there. Trying to find things that are going long is few and far between. Trying to find stuff that's going short, well, a lot of stuff is oversold, and trying to find stuff that's going, otherwise you could just get into chop. So it's a really, really difficult market right now.
Yeah, you bring up a good point too, that some of the market turbulence may be because of the Fed meeting results coming out tomorrow, and that higher inflation data being the hottest it's been in 39 years from the CPI number, you would have thought there'd be more of a reaction, but maybe more and more people are starting to wake up that inflation's not transitory. But then, as you pointed out, the PPI number really sent people into a tizzy. So it's interesting how the market's reacting. And typically after a FOMC day like we have tomorrow on Wednesday, there's some head fake moves too, where things exaggerate one direction, then flip-flop the other direction. So maybe interesting for some short-term trades and some day trades possibly, but it'd be hard to establish a directional trend until we get a little more data in. You know, are there any sectors that you see as being more beat up than others where they may represent an opportunity, TG?
Well, in one way they call them the FOMO stocks or the meme stocks. Also within that, there are a group of stocks that I've made just a ton of money off of in 2020, basically when the new administration came in and we knew that they're pro-cannabis, they're pro-solar, pro-alternative fuels, pro-EVs, all that kind of stuff. And we saw those sectors absolutely explode in 2020, and that was also because we had, you know, a lot of stimulus checks going out, everyone was home, so people were trading stocks, the market was going up, we were in a fresh bull market because of COVID. That was a really, really pretty crazy time in the market, and all of those names have basically just crashed and fallen and keep going down ever since about February, and then again over the summer. We saw a little bit of a spurt on some of them just maybe a month or two ago, but ever since that spurt, they keep failing. So just, it's kind of carnage all over the place is what I'm seeing. And then only the five FANG stocks are holding the market up, and it's rough out there to see if anything is really catching a bid.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see what's happened from 2020 into 2021 at this point at the end of the year, because it went from everybody at home suddenly becoming traders and investors, taking their stimulus checks, or AKA their stimmies, putting them into the cryptocurrencies, Tesla stock, the meme stocks, all of the kind of high-flying tech stocks, vaccine stocks, and biotech. And we've seen a lot of those things, the tree get shaken a little bit throughout the year, but especially in the last couple of weeks. So I'm wondering if more and more people are getting a little more defensive, looking for some kind of a pattern and maybe becoming a little less speculative. I have a lot of friends, TG, that were using options on the meme stocks, and they were blindsided by this AMC and GameStop move and everything. Do you think there's a point where, just for a short-term trader, that some of the things like, let's use the tech stocks or something like Tesla as an example, where, you know, it's a solid company, but it had a really frothy valuation. It's come down a lot now. Do you think there's going to be a counter trend rally where people could get positioned in a stock like a Tesla or something like that, where it's had a nice 20% correction? Maybe it's a good spot to start picking a bottom fishing area?
It's a possibility. You know, if we look at Tesla, we go back to, let's say, the March area, and if we try to use that as a way to study what might be going forward, if, and this is always a big if price is going to go up again and we're going to catch some sort of rally, I've got to see them develop. You know, the fact that we do have price underneath the daily 50 has me a little bit concerned. And if we do get a bounce, we need to make sure that that bounce then gets back over the daily 50 and then can maintain that. If we look at the weekly chart for something like Tesla, we are coming into the weekly 21, which is typically an area of where price can hold support. But if it doesn't, or if it bounces off the 21 then rolls over sometime later, we're going to be in trouble. You know, I'm concerned that ultimately this might have been some sort of top in Tesla. And while we might have some bounces, it might just kind of keep working its way lower. I just keep seeing names just starting to, you know, not melt down, but they're just not getting any steam. They just keep slowly melting to the downside, and all the bounces keep getting sold into. So, you know, until we really see something change, I'm concerned that bounces are going to be into resistance.
Well, and you brought up some of the moving averages there, and I know you look at those closely. There's some school of thought that they don't want to trade a stock unless it's trending positively above moving averages, like the 50-day, like the 21-day, like the 200-day. How important do you think it is to be, I guess it's determined by your style of trading, but how important is it to be above those moving averages? Do you ever buy a stock when it's dipped down below them, looking for some other indicators to show you there may be a turn? Or do you like it to be trending in a positive direction before you put on a long position?
Well, yes, of course, it depends on whatever your trading style is. There are thousands of trading styles and probably infinite based on whatever you like to do. But for me, if you're going to be saying, hey, I want to buy something and I need it to go up in order to make money, and we're talking mostly either, you know, stocks, options, even if you're selling calls or selling puts, you still need the stock to generally go up, sideways to up. And so what I would be looking for is, for me, I need price to be over certain moving averages and then following those moving averages to the upside. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the daily. It could be down on the 15-minute time frame, but if the daily is not proper and the daily is not engaged and I'm going to be trading something on the 15, then I have to respect it based on the 15-minute time frame, meaning that, you know what, I might only get a day, two, three out of this if it's going to be following the 15-minute time frame. But because the higher time frames are not engaged, then I might be running into resistance on those time frames. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to trade lower time frames, you have to be more nimble, because the higher time frames don't have the wind at their back to help you carry the bigger move.
That makes sense. And it really comes down to somebody's time horizon of their investment, how long they plan on making the trade, and which time horizon of charts they're following to guide their trading. So good thoughts there, TG. Just one other sector that I think it'd be nice to touch on, and I believe you follow it somewhat closely, and that's the cryptocurrencies. We've seen a pretty big move down in Bitcoin and Ethereum from where they were. I mean, Bitcoin was at 69,000. Just a month or two back, and now it's down around 46.8. Ethereum was up quite a bit higher. I think it's pulled back about 15-20% from where it was. It's down to 3,700 now. Do you have a thought on the cryptos or on the crypto miners, which I know you follow a few of those as well?
Yeah, some of the stuff that I've been hearing about is that they were projecting, there's a lot of chatter about Bitcoin going to 100,000 by the end of this year. And so, you know, I didn't care about that. I just traded the charts. But when I saw that Bitcoin was making new all-time highs twice within a month or two ago, I thought, okay, this is pretty cool. You know, let's see if it can keep going. And then when it pulled back, I thought, okay, well, let's look if that pullback can hold support. And for Bitcoin, when it could not hold that pullback, namely at the daily 50, that's where my stop loss was. And so if the fact that it did not hold and it hasn't held anything since, I just got out of the way. And I think what happened was a lot of people kind of bought at that top thinking, okay, 100,000 is coming next. And when it didn't, there were stop losses and there were margin calls, because now you can be leveraged on Bitcoin and some of the other cryptos. and it just kept going down. And so I think we saw a whole lot of liquidation, which I heard something like 420,000 accounts were liquidated. And so there's a whole lot of supply that suddenly got out there. And now we have to figure out who's left to buy this stuff up and when is the bottom in on this pullback. And if we do find a temporary low, because of course things don't go down in a straight line, they can bounce, we just need to make sure that this bounce doesn't go up into resistance and that this might actually start an overall longer-term downtrend in the cryptos. So we don't really have a clear answer, mostly because we're still in this pullback. And we don't know if the pullback is into longer-term support or temporary support.
Yeah, we'll have to have more data and follow along to see how these rebounds go and can it get back above resistance levels. But how do you think that fares for the crypto miners, companies like Riot or Hut 8 or Voyage Digital or Mara, companies like that where they got pretty inflated in valuations, and now with the crypto's weakness, you know, how do you think that they are reacting in tandem?
I think they're just going to follow Bitcoin. As simple as that. Yeah, if you look at a chart of Bitcoin, you look at a chart of the miners, they might be a little bit more exaggerated, but they exactly follow Bitcoin. So you think, okay, all these stocks, that yeah, they're getting hit. I mean, I think Mara had a 50% move down, more than 50% move down from its peak recently. It was too much. And now they're trying to get recalibrated. And if they're going to go up, like if these things are going to be bullish again sometime, they're just going to have to reset. They're going to have to take a break. They're going to have to base a little bit. They're going to have to prove themselves. There's going to have to be enough accumulation to offset the distribution. And then we'll just have to see if it actually wants to regain an uptrend. But it's going to take some time. This is not going to flip around. And as I said, if there are going to be any bounces, like if you see a big move up, you're like, oh, this is it, most likely that's probably going to be a bounce into resistance. A new trend to where these things are going to get back on track is going to take time, and you're going to have to wait until you get more robust moving averages engaged with them to start this uptrend. So careful about any just quick moves up. I'd be looking for something that actually takes a little bit more time to build and develop.
Sounds like they will be overlaid fairly closely with the cryptos themselves. And like you said, that is keeping it simple. I guess that's why they call it simpler trading. So
yeah,
I always appreciate getting your thoughts, TG. And hopefully we'll have some better news once we check back next time of maybe some more established trends. But appreciate you spending some time with us here at the KE Report. I'll put a link to Simpler Trading down below. And we will check in with you again in a week or two just to see how the markets look then.
Fantastic.